Ned turned to Slade and Lyle again.
Get out there and put saddles on the best animals we got! Hurry!
I ain't so sure about this, Ned.
Lyle peered out the doorway.
Get out there and saddle the goddamn horses or I'll kill you myself! Morgan ain't gonna do a damn thing so long as I've got this gun cocked under his little boy's skullbone.
Rich Boggs, the half-breed hold-up man from Kansas, came out the front door carrying a rifle.
Come on, boys.
Lyle and Slade edged out the door with Winchesters in their hands.
I don't like this, Lyle.
Neither do I, Slade, but we can't stay here until this snow melts.
Cabot Bulwar, a former bank robber from Baton Rouge, was the last to leave the cabin. He spoke Cajun English.
Don't see no men's no place, mon ami. This man Morgan be a hard bastard to shoot.
Shut up and get the damn horses saddled!
Ned's hands trembled in the cold.
Please don't shoot me, Mr. Pine. I didn't do anything to you.
Shut up, crying sack of shit, or I'll empty your brains onto this here snow! I ain't all that sure you got any goddamn brains.
My father doesn't care what you do to me. He never came to see me, not even when you killed my mother, Vivian.
That was an accident. Sort of. Now shut up! Let me think.
Cabot, Lyle, Slade, and Billy made their way slowly to the corrals. Rich came over to Ned with his rifle cocked, ready to fire.
You reckon Morgan will let us ride out of here?
Damn right he will.
You sound mighty sure of it.
I've got his snot-nosed kid with a gun under his jawbone. Even Morgan won't take the chance of shooting at us. He knows I'll kill his boy.
I ain't seen him no place, Ned. I've been looking real close.
Help the others saddle our mounts. Frank Morgan is out there somewhere.
Are you sure it's him? Billy saw a feller up on the rim of the canyon. Maybe it's the law.
It ain't the law. It's Morgan.
But you sent Charlie back to gun him down. And then Sam and Buster and Tony rode our back trail. One man couldn't outgun Sam or Buster, and nobody ever got to Charlie. Charlie's real careful.
Shut the hell up and saddle our horses, Rich! You're wasting valuable time running your mouth over things we can't do nothing about. If Morgan got to Charlie and Sam and the rest of them, we'll have to ride out of here and head for Gypsum Gap to meet up with Vic. Damn!
One man can't be that tough.
Ned was furious. He knew Morgan was good, but that was years ago. He stood in front of the cabin with his Colt pistol under Conrad's chin, waiting for the horses. At that moment, he was in bad need of a swallow of whiskey. Louis Pettigrew began to have serious doubts. He listened to Victor Van Bergen and Ford Peters talk about Frank Morgan for more than an hour. Lewis looked at a page full of notes on Morgan. But too many seasoned lawmen told him Morgan was as good as any man alive with a gun. Something about the stories he was hearing didn't add up.
Morgan left his wife with a band of outlaws, and they killed her?
Sure did.
That ain't the worst of it.
She had this baby boy of Frank's. He left the kid with her, too. That ought to tell you what kind of a yellow bastard he is. He was, until he got killed. The little boy's name was Conrad Browning. Morgan wasn't even decent enough to marry her before he pulled stakes and ran out on her.
Did Mr. Morgan ever come back to visit his son?
Not that anybody knows of. The boy was raised by somebody else. Morgan was rotten through and through. Any man who'd abandon his own son ain't worth the gunpowder it'd take to kill him, if you ask me.
That's a fact. Morgan went west and left his boy to grow up alone. Well, that's why we say he was yellow. No man with even a trace of gumption would leave his kids to be raised by somebody else.
Morgan was a no-good son of a bitch.
Ford waved to the barkeep to bring them more drinks at the expense of the writer from Boston.
I can't believe he'd do that.
You didn't know him like we did. He was trash.
I don't understand how so many people could be wrong about him. I've heard him described as fearless and one of the best gunmen in recent times.
Lies. all lies.
He was short on nerve. I can tell you a hell of a lot more about him if you want to hear it.
The drinks were placed around the table. Louis Pettigrew had a scowl on his face.
I don't think I need to hear any more, gentlemen. It would appear I've come all this way for nothing. To write a story about a dead gunfighter with a reputation he clearly did not deserve.
Got that part right.
Ford nodded his agreement. Vern wanted to get in his 2 cents worth.
Frank Morgan is washed up as a gunfighter. You better write your story about somebody else.
Dear me.
Pettigrew closed his notepad and put his pencil away.
It would seem the last of the great gunfighters is no more.
A blast of cold wind rattled the doors into the Wagon Wheel Saloon. Pettigrew glanced over his shoulder.
I suppose I should see about lodging for the night and a stable for my horse. I think in the morning I'll ride toward Denver and catch the next train to Boston.
Sounds like a good idea to me. You won't be giving your readers much if you write a story about Frank Morgan.
So it would appear, gentlemen. I appreciate your time and your honesty. I suppose some men live on reputations from the past.
That's Morgan. I hate to inform a fellow who's wasted his time, but I figure you have if you intend to write about Frank.
Pettigrew pushed back his chair.
Well, so many people want to read the dime novels about true life heroes out here in the West. Some of our best-selling books in the past have been about Wild Bill and Buffalo Bill Cody. There's even this woman, Calamity Jane, they call her, who can outshoot most men with a rifle or a pistol. Our readers love that sort of thing. We can't print enough of them.
Nobody'd want to read about Frank. It'd be a waste of good paper and ink.
Pettigrew was barely outside before Ford and Vic began to laugh over their joke.
You spooned him for a crap. He bought every word of it.
Vic's expression changed.
We don't need no damn reporter hanging around while Ned's got Frank's boy.
We got rid of the reporter. I figure he'll head for Denver at first light.
If this storm don't snow him in.
Vern watched snowflakes patter against the saloon windows.
That's one hell of a long ride up to Denver when the weather's as bad as this.
We'll stay here tonight. Go tell the rest of the boys to find rooms and put their horses away.
Vern stood up, stretching tired muscles after the ride from Gypsum Gap.
I'm damn sure glad to hear you say that, boss.
Me too. Our asses could have froze off. It sure is late in the year for so much snow.
Vic looked out at the storm.
We need to send a couple of riders down to Pine Canyon, just to make sure Ned got Morgan and that boy.
We'd have heard by now.
Somebody from Ned's bunch would have come looking for us if they needed help. Hell, Morgan's just one man, and Ned's got over a dozen good gunmen with him. Slade and Lyle is enough to drop Morgan in his tracks.
I hope you're right. Morgan can be a sneaky son of a bitch.
He ain't that sneaky.
Vic glanced at Ford and smiled.
How the hell would you know, Ford? In spite of what you told that Easterner, you never set eyes on Frank Morgan in your life. He could walk in here right now and you wouldn't recognize him.
You're right, boss. I just couldn't pass up the opportunity.
Vern started for the door, putting on his coat as he passed the potbelly stove.
You damn sure did a good job of it, Ford Peters. For a while there, I thought maybe you and Frank was half brothers.
I'd kill you over a remark like that. It wasn't so damn cold.
Vic tossed back the last of his third drink.
Tell the boys to settle in for the night, Vern. I'll send a couple of them over to the canyon tomorrow, so we'll know what's keeping Ned. I had it figured he ought to be here by now.
Frank watched from hiding as Ned Pine brought Conrad out of the cabin with a gun under his chin. The boy's hands were tied in front of him. Swirling snow kept Frank from seeing the boy clearly. 5 more members of the gang brought 7 saddled horses around to the front. Frank was helpless. For now, all he could do was watch. He wondered if Pine would execute his son for the men he'd already lost. But Pine needed a human shield to get him out of the Box Canyon. He needed Conrad alive, for now.
Pine will kill Conrad when he hears the first gunshot. I'll have to follow them, wait until Ned makes a mistake.
Frank had taken a deadly toll on Pine's gang in a matter of hours, with the help of the old fur trapper. He wondered where they were taking his son. Frank felt something touch his shoulder, and he whirled around, snaking a pistol from leather. He relaxed and put his peacemaker away.
Whoa, whoa! Don't shoot me! They're clearing out, as you can see.
I got no choice but to trail them. Maybe Ned'll get careless somewhere.
Where would it take him?
I got no idea, but wherever it is, I'll be right behind him. I don't know this country.
I do. I've been here for 9 or 20 years.
This isn't your problem. I appreciate what you've done for me, but I can handle it from here.
I'll fetch one of them dead outlaws' horses from behind the canyon. Ride with you.
No need, Tin Pan. This isn't your fight.
I decided to make it my fight, Morgan. When some ornery bastards are holding a man's son hostage, he needs all the help he can get.
That was a nice shot from up high a while ago. Couldn't have done any better myself.
Yeah, I was hoping the wind didn't throw my aim off, but this old long gun is pretty damn accurate. I'll collect that horse and unsaddle the others so I can let them go. I'll bring your animals around along with Martha to the mouth of the canyon as soon as they ride out.
Almost forgot about her.
Well, she's got more than 50 cured beaver pelts tied to her back. That's plenty to get me a fresh grub steak before the weather gets warm and the beavers start to lose their winter ham. You might say a winter's worth of work is hanging on her back saddle.
Frank peered through the snow.
Here they come. Stay still.
No need for you to tell me what to do, Morgan. I know how to make it in this wilderness without being seen. Just rest easy on that notion, will you?
Ned Pine rode at the front with Conrad, Pine's gun still pressed to Conrad's throat. 2 more gunmen rode behind Ned and the boy. A 3rd outlaw came from the cabin leading a loaded pack horse. The last pair of outlaws stayed well behind the others with Winchester rifles resting on their thighs.
Keeping back a rear guard. If we get the chance, we might be able to jump them in this snow. It's hard to see real well.
One way or another, I gotta get rid of Pine's men before I take him on man to man.
You'll need to pick the right spot in the right time.
I'm a pretty good hand at that.
Frank moved into the trees as Pine and his men rode out of the canyon with Conrad as their prisoner. Snowflakes swirled around the men as they left the canyon and turned east, away from the Badlands. Frank was surprised at the direction they took.
The Last Gunfighter is continued on the next CD.